Hello, I'm Ross Sadler, and welcome to a program which I hope will help to make music more accessible for some listeners. December the 16th, 2021, marks the 100th anniversary of the death of Camille Saint-Saëns. So we're devoting this and the following two programs to an examination of the life and times of Camille Saint-Saëns. Today, we'll be looking at Saint-Saëns' career prior to 1870. Camille Saint-Saëns was born in Paris on October the 9th, 1835. His father was a junior civil servant who died just 3 months after the birth of his son. After spending 2 years in a nursing home in Corbeil, the tubercular Camille was brought up by his mother and aunt. He was taught to play the piano from the age of 3 by Madame Masson, and at the age of 10 he made his formal debut at the Salle Pleyel with a program that included Beethoven's Piano Concerto in C minor and Mozart's Concerto in B flat, K450, for which he wrote his own cadenza. He performed everything from memory, which was a considerable feat at the time.
Thank you.
Saint-Saëns showed the same quickness in his general education, studying the French classics, religion, Latin and Greek, and acquiring a taste for mathematics and the natural sciences, including astronomy, archaeology, and philosophy, subjects on which he was later to write with enthusiasm. When he sold the publishing rights of his 6 duos for harmonium and piano to Guiraud, for some 500 francs in 1858, he used the proceeds to buy himself a telescope. Here's the final movement from that telescope-winning series of pieces, performed by Arti Woodhouse Harmonium and Andrew Sun Piano. Saint-Saëns entered the Paris Conservatoire in 1848 and studied the organ with Benoist, winning the Premier Prix in 1851. In the same year, he began to study composition and orchestration with Halévy and also took lessons in accompaniment and singing. A scherzo for small orchestra, the symphony in A, and choral pieces, two romances, and a number of incomplete works date from this period. Although he failed to win the Prix de Rome, his Ode to Saint Cecilia won a first prize in a competition organized by the Société Saint-Cécile Bordeaux in 1852. There were more unfinished works in the following years, but then Saint-Saëns produced his symphony Urbs Roma, which won another competition organized by the Société Sainte-Cécile in 1857. Urbs Roma was the anonymous pseudonym the judges required to ensure fair play. Saint-Saëns had not yet been to Rome when he wrote the piece, leading commentators to the opinion that the work might, in some general sense, describe either grandeur or dissolution, or whatever the word Rome can be taken to imply. One last irrefutable fact is that Saint-Saëns never promoted the work or published it. This finally happened in 1974, and so we may assume that it was not a piece that he was proud of, which is not to say that it lacks interest for us, both as a marker for the future and indeed its own several virtues. Grandeur is certainly the word to describe the opening, which would have had the extra benefit of showing the judges that Saint-Saëns took the competition seriously. Here to play that opening movement, Largo Allegro, is the Orchestra Nationale de la Forte, conducted by Jean Martinon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, moving to smaller forms, Saint-Saëns had been writing chamber music since 1842. There were violin sonatas, a piano quartet, which wasn't published until 1992, and then there was the A minor piano quintet, Opus 14, thought to date from around 1855 and published 10 years later. It's dedicated to the composer's great-aunt, Charlotte Gaillard-Masson, who lived with he and his mother and gave him his first piano lessons. The piano plays a dominant virtuoso role, often in opposition to the string quartet, but also engaging in dialogue, ensemble, contrapuntal, and unison passages. It's a very beautiful work and shows considerable maturity for the writing of a composer who must have been around 20 at the time. We're going to go to a performance of the final movement, Allegro assai ma tranquillo, in other words, decidedly fast but still tranquil. And this features the Fine Arts Quartet with Cristina Ortiz at the piano. The final movement is in A major. It contains a fugato built on a scale-like theme for the strings, followed by a second lyrical theme for the full ensemble. Saint-Saëns then enmeshes the two contrapuntally and finally invokes the second theme of the first movement.
Thank you.
With pieces such as the piano quintet, Saint-Saëns entered a new phase of composition. These are serious and ambitious works written on a large scale and showing the influence of Schumann. The quintet is one of his earliest cyclic compositions, and the piano writing is thick and heavy, a texture that is also in evidence in the Urbs Roma symphony, and in those pieces from the period which combine the harmonium and the piano. We heard one of these earlier, of course. Not all the works written in the 1850s and 60s, though, are so ponderous. Saint-Saëns wrote his first three piano concertos during this period. The second, which is still in the repertory, has a first movement that deviates from the typical sonata form pattern, and all three have frivolous finales which capture the prevailing mood of the Second Empire. The second piano concerto has a home key of G minor, and this returns in the final movement presto. At the beginning of the movement, the piano introduces a powerful triplet motif, in other words, one in which three notes are played in the time of two. This is then taken up by the full orchestra. The motif alternates with a leaping tarantella. Towards the end of the movement, a series of heavy, bell-like chords on the piano give way to running triplet writing, which drives the work through to the end. Let's join a performance of that third movement with Catherine Stott as the soloist and the BBC Philharmonic Orchestra, Maren Allsop, conducting. Thank you. Saint-Saëns' gifts early won him the friendship and patronage of figures such as Pauline Viardot, Gounod, Rossini, and Berlioz. Berlioz said of him, "He knows everything, but lacks in experience." Liszt was also much impressed by Saint-Saëns as a pianist and composer. In 1853, Saint-Saëns was made organist of Saint-Marie, where his Mass Opus 4, dedicated to the Abbé Gabriel, was performed in 1857. In gratitude, the Abbé invited Saint-Saëns to accompany him on a visit to Italy, and this inaugurated a lifetime of travel for the young composer. Also in 1857, Saint-Saëns was nominated to the Maddalena, where he remained until 1877. It was there that Liszt heard him improvising and hailed him as the greatest organist in the world. So I think it's appropriate that we conclude this program about the young Camille Saint-Saëns by listening to the Gloria from his early Mass. This gives us a very good dimension, not only of his mature writing, but also of Saint-Saëns the organist. Simon Colston, John Vickers, Trevor Owen and Brian Harvey are the soloists, with the Worcester Cathedral Choir, conducted by Donald Hunt and Roy Massey at the organ. Until we meet again to look at the next two decades of Saint-Saëns' career, happy listening.
Thank you. Depart us, depart us.